Well, let's get our Bibles today. We're going to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 61, in our Bibles today. We have sang today about salvation. We've sang about the blood covering our sins. We've sang about walking by His side. That's the Christian life. We've also sang about the storms of life. That's a big part of it as well. And I want to preach to you today on this thought, praying while under the circumstances. And I'm even thinking about it this way, praying while under the influence of the circumstances. You ever, anybody ever prayed while under the influence of your circumstances? Amen. I think I heard amen out there on the first part of it, but some probably have. Well, yeah, a lot of folks have prayed under the influence, but I'm thinking about under the influence of your trials and your troubles and your storms and your circumstances, and while under the circumstances. What we're about to read here, most believe that this is probably based on 2 Samuel 17, when David had to was ran out of town, and his own son, Absalom, tried to lead a revolt to take his throne away. He was betrayed by his own son. His own son tried to run him out. Now, you know, a lot of the Psalms have to do with David, you know, when Saul was after him. King Saul tried to kill him for a long time, and he had to go from cave to cave and all of this and just praying and trusting God. But then he had trials like this as well after he was king, and we believe that this probably is where Absalom was trying to take the throne from him. And with all that in mind, let's look at what he prayed and said here. So Psalm 61, if you're able, let's stand for the reading of our scriptures this morning. We'll read the 8 verses. David says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." I think he's saying, I want to get back to my job. I'm out here being ran off my throne, and I want to daily get back to performing my vows and doing what I'm supposed to do. But go back to verses 1 and 2. He says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray now you would help us. We need your power. We need your comfort. We need your guidance. We need your help, Lord, in all things. And Lord, I just pray you'd help me this morning. Speak to our hearts, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for the themes of the music, the singing today, salvation and storms. And Lord, I pray you'd help us in the message now. And God, just meet the needs, whatever they might be. And we ask it in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. You may be seated. No doubt David was often under the circumstances, perhaps even under the influence of the circumstances. We've all been there. You know what the influence of your circumstances is like. They influence your thinking. They influence your feelings. They influence your emotions. They influence your decisions. The circumstances, the storms that you go through in life, and those overwhelming feelings that he's talking about right here. So David was going through all of that. He was under the circumstances for sure, and under the influence of those circumstances. But he did the right thing, as he often did. He went and called on God. You know, we can learn a lot from the Bible characters. The Bible says these are written for our admonition. Amen? I'm glad we've got all these stories in the Bible that we can learn from. We can learn from the wise decisions some of them made. We can learn from the mistakes many of them made. And it helps us, it gives us an advantage in life. Amen? To be able to go and see what they did in their life. Now, we all know we're going to have troubles of all kinds. We know we're going to have storms that we're going to face, and we know we're going to have sorrows, and we're going to have doubts and troubles and trials and fears and uncertainties. We're going to have this issue of, Lord, when will this trial right now, this current trial, when will it be over? Lord, when will the storm pass by? We all have that. Sometimes it seems like the storm goes on and on and on and on forever. I'm glad the song and the scriptures teach us He's with us in the storm. Amen. He knows about your storm. The Lord's not caught off guard. And I was thinking about Job. You know, Job, boy, whenever life went bad for him and it hit him, he didn't see it coming. But you know who did see it coming? The Lord already knew. Because the Lord had already had those conversations with the devil, and the devil's the one that went and did all that stuff to him. But I'm saying the Lord knew, and the Lord also saw beyond it and saw His restoration one day. Amen? That the Lord was going to bring him through those trials. So whatever you're going through in your life, God's not caught off guard. Amen? He knew it was coming. He knew it was going to happen. He allowed it in many cases. So David here, not really perhaps sinning and bringing trouble on himself, but just dealing with things that came into his life as trials. And that's what I'm talking about today. If it's a sin problem, let's confess it, forsake it, and get it under the blood and taken care of. Amen. But if it's a trial of our faith and storms in our life that God allows, that's what we're talking about here today. How long will it last? That's up to God. How long will the storm go? That's up to God. And we've all been through those storms. We worry that now, we worry about the economy, we worry about the elections, we worry about the uncertainties of life, we worry about the unstable situation of our country and all of these things that are going on. Or it could even be like David here, it might even be a family, which I think that's what this one is, even a family issue that people deal with, and people go through things that they didn't see coming or didn't know would be happening in their life. So again, we not only learn from the lives and the experiences and the storms of these Bible characters, I'm glad for this, we also get to learn from their prayers. And David, God recorded many of his prayers, and we can learn from those. Amen. We can look into these prayers, we can study these prayers, we can read these prayers, we can get a front row seat into the emotions and the overwhelming situations that people like David found themselves in. God recorded it for our good, amen, right? And we ought to take advantage of that, we can learn from it, and it's certainly going to be a help to us. I want to give you three or four truths today about praying while under these circumstances. And number one, I want to say this, I'm glad to say this. Number one, we can pray anywhere. We can pray anywhere, we can pray anytime. He said there in verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. David understood the wilderness, he understood the landscape. As a shepherd, he learned the hillsides of his country and his region. As he was fleeing the pursuits of Saul, he learned the cave systems in that area. I mean, if anybody knew the land like the back of their hand, we say, it would be David. David knew these places. He understood. But at this point, he felt like he was at the end of the earth. It felt that way before, no doubt. But you know, in his life, it felt like, maybe at the end of my rope, at the end of my life, at the end of this. And he didn't mean at the end of it in the sense that it was about to be over. Boy, there's light at the end of the tunnel. He meant I just feel like I'm at the end of everything. You know, light at the end of the tunnel, that's good when it means, oh, I can see some light and this, you know, thing's about to get over. It's bad when the light is a freight train coming with another train load of problems your way. Amen, right? You don't want to see that light. But you do want to see, get a glimpse that maybe is coming to the end. But David knew, felt like he was at the end of the earth. The Apostle Paul, you know, he was God protected him and helped him in the ship on the ocean. But God also helped him and protected him in shipwrecks when he was in the ocean as well. So he understood storms also, amen? And he understood bad storms. He understood the shipwrecks of life, not just the voyage of life, but actually when the ship would run aground and there would be troubles and trials. But he could pray there. In the depths of the sea, he could pray. Whether he was on the ship or in the water because the ship didn't make it, he could pray. Aren't you glad wherever you are, you can pray anywhere? Because look, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Well, you got to learn to pray anywhere and all places to pray without ceasing, right? You got to learn to pray no matter where you're at or what you're facing or where you're going. You can learn to pray. And we can always call on God. Even when you feel like you're at the end of the earth, nobody's there for you. Nobody else knows. Nobody else seems to understand. You're just out there at the end of the earth all by yourself. And you're out there so far, a cell phone won't work. But prayer does, and you can still get in touch with heaven wherever you might be. Amen? You can pray in the car. You can pray in the mountain. You can pray in the valley. You can pray in the ocean. You can pray in the phone booth. Anybody know what a phone booth is? You know, you ever stop? You ever ran around town looking for a phone booth? I've been there and done that. What do you want to do? Ask later if you don't know what we're talking about. But you would run to that phone booth back in the day because you needed to make a call. It was urgent. It was desperate. You had to find a phone booth, and you had to get in there, and you had to search for, and perhaps in the seats of your car for that coin. Was it a dime? Or went to a quarter? Whatever it was. Why? You needed to call somebody. But you know what? We can just call on God anytime, anywhere. Amen? We don't have to get to a certain place to call on God. We don't have to find that certain spot to call on God. Wherever you are. Nehemiah stood before the king. And the Bible says, silently, he shot up some prayers and said, Lord, help me now. I need some help right now. I'm in a conversation with the king. The king didn't know it. I'm in a conversation with the king right now. And Lord, I need his mercy. I need his help. He was praying about it right then and there, right? Calling on God for that. In his heart, silent prayer. Aren't you glad God knows what's going on in your heart? Even when you don't know how to say it or you don't have time to say it, have you ever been singing these songs? And while you're singing these songs, your heart also sends up a prayer. I've said to myself before, I don't want to stop singing. I need to ask the Lord about something right now, but I don't want to stop singing. I'm glad he knows what's on my heart. I'm glad it's going up. Even though I might be saying the words of the song, he knows that you're sending a prayer up at that moment too. Amen? Whether you're in conversation with somebody or whatever it is that's going on, you can pray anywhere. You can pray in the tractor. You can pray in the house. You can pray in the truck. You can pray on vacation. Amen? And probably ought to. You can pray wherever you may be. Pray without ceasing, any and all places. David said, I'm at the end of the earth. Feel like it. At the end of my rope. That's a good place to pray. And your prayer phone can reach heaven. It can get there from anywhere. Well, I'm glad of that. Amen. I'm glad your prayer phone can get there from wherever. Pray anywhere. Let me say this. Number two, we should pray with a fervent spirit. I think I see that here as well. Verse 1, hear my cry. He didn't say prayer right there. He said cry. Attend unto my prayer. That would be what I'm asking, my petitions. You know, sometimes it's a cry. It's a fervent cry from your spirit. Now, prayer, you form words. You logically make a petition or a request from God. But a cry just might be when you don't know what to say, but you're like, God, I'm here. God, I'm here, and I need help. Amen. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Lord, hear my cry. Would you please hear my cry? There were times when David said, don't hide your face from me. Or how long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me? Lord, I need you to hear my prayer. I need you to hear my cry. We ought to pray with a fervent spirit. I believe he did that. Not from a prayer book. Not from the book of common prayer. I've seen that before. I've been in hospitals before. When the guys get their little prayer book out and they read a prayer, I always say I'd rather a guy just be able to talk to God and say, help this person, amen, than to have to read a prayer from somebody else wrote for you to read that prayer. I would like it just to come from the heart, a heartfelt cry from a fervent spirit. Lord, I need help. Lord, I'm in the valley. I'm in the storm. I'm in the trial. I'm at the end of the earth here. But I'm glad, Lord, I can cry out and call to you. I preached, was it last week, Genesis 4:26, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Seth, I didn't say this then, but I was reminded of it this week. That was, by the way, the first mention of prayer in the Bible. There's a law of interpretation in your Bible called the law of first mention. It's where something is mentioned for the first time. That's where prayer is mentioned for the first time. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because they had fallen into sin. Society was getting dangerous. The first murder had happened. And they realized, we need to call upon the name of the Lord here. We need prayer. We need God, is what they were doing. That I believe those prayers from Seth and those prayers from Enoch when he walked with God, I believe those were fervent prayers. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God pays attention to that. Amen? David's the one that talked about a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That means a broken heart. Lord, you'll hear that cry. You'll hear that prayer. Thank God for it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That involves sickness and sin there in James chapter 5, which are the sources of our troubles and trials. You know that. Sin has put us all in troubles and trials and storms. But you know, sometimes sickness can put you there too. When you have something going on that you weren't looking for, we all know what that's like, right? You get sick suddenly. And sometimes, even a very serious sickness that comes on, you know. You can kind of tell when you're getting sick, if it's a sinus thing. You're like, boy, oh no, I hope this doesn't go where I think it usually goes, you know. But it does. And a couple of days later, you're sick. But sometimes things just come on you sudden like you didn't know they were coming. God did. God knew. But it's a source of sorrow. It's a source of storms. It's a source of trials is what I'm trying to say. And we realize that we can call upon God. We get serious when the storm comes. We get serious when the sickness comes. We get serious when the illness is there. The trial. The thing we didn't see coming. We get more serious about it. Our prayers get more fervent then. Now, am I right about that? Isn't that the truth? I mean, Lord, I'm in trouble now. Lord, things were good a week ago. I'm sorry I didn't have time to talk to you. Things were going so good. But Lord, things ain't going so good today. Can we talk? We do it. That's our nature to do that. And God wants us to do that. Now, He wants us to talk during the good times too. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a great day. Thank you, Lord, for helping me today. Lord, guide and direct my life today. But He says, whenever you're in trouble, come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen. And we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Fervent prayer. I'm glad here that we learn we can pray anywhere. That we should pray with a fervent spirit. So let me say this, number three. We can pray in any situation. Now again in verse 2. From the ends of the earth will I cry. But look at this. When my heart is overwhelmed. That's any situation. And we talked about his situation, perhaps, that he was in right there. When my heart is overwhelmed. And I was told you, Charles Spurgeon went through a lot of depression. They used the word back then, they used the word melancholy. You know what that is? You know what that feels like, right? And he dealt with a lot of that stuff. And some people just use the word, I'm overwhelmed right now, right? And storms coming from all angles and all directions in our life. But I'm glad we can pray in any situation. Amen. I got some friends in South Carolina that years ago, we had a homecoming when we were in South Carolina 1 year, and this couple, Douglas and Melissa, they showed up. They were invited. In fact, Douglas' uncle invited them to our homecoming. They came that day. Melissa got her heart right with God, rededicated her life. And probably a week or two later in the home, I was able to lead Douglas to the Lord. And then I realized, by the way, it hit me, we went to school together, me and Douglas. I didn't even realize that. I don't know, people look older than when I was in high school, you know, and I was like, oh, I know you, man. I'm glad you came to church. Got to lead him to Christ, amen. He's my age. He's a little bit younger. But in the last couple of years, she's gotten cancer, and now I'm hearing they've been texting and messaging and maybe up to a month to live. You know what they've been doing all that time? No, they've been going to church. They've been praying. They've been sending me messages. Pray about this. Here's what the doctor said. That's just one of a million, right? But we understand troubles, trials, problems come from any situation. Sickness, David, family, finances. Just, you get overwhelmed sometimes, but that's what he said. Lord, I want to, when my heart is overwhelmed, hear me. Hear my prayer. Let me cry unto you. Lord, I'm under the circumstance. How are you doing? Good under the circumstances. I'm under the circumstance. I'm under the influence of my circumstances. And it's very, very negative in my life right now. One commentary said the psalmist is experiencing some very deep and difficult problems, which is so great he feels he is utterly overwhelmed with their enormity. The world promises us help in our troubles, but we know that help is very limited. When troubles get very great, the world's help fails, but God never fails. Even when we are overwhelmed, in fact, the greater the problem, the greater it honors God when He delivers you from the problem. That's faith right there, amen? But why do you call on God? Just to tell God how bad it is, or to tell God you need some help with it? Amen, right? You can pray in any situation, and yes, you can tell God how bad it is, but notice He not only cried out on how bad it was, He prayed some petitions to ask God to help with it. That's expecting. Faith is saying, Lord, I believe you care. Lord, I'm casting my care upon you. I believe you care, but I believe you not only care, I believe you can help. Amen? And that's why I love that song this morning that the choir sang. Somebody said a normal submarine cannot go to the depths of the ocean, but they got a little small one that's called the Bathysphere, several inches thick of plate steel, cramped, heavy, hard to maneuver, but it can handle the pressures at lower depths. And scientists have gone down in this thing before and been amazed at the fish that they see at those depths and those levels. And that's prompted another study on how in the world can these fish, you know, we designed this thing to come down here. How can the fish do it? Well, you know, I don't know if they'd admit it or not, but the only conclusion is God gave them enough inside pressure to counter the outside pressure of the ocean. And what we have to do is we have to pray, Lord, you don't have to pray, Lord, give me thick skin. You need to say, Lord, give me more inner pressure to counter the outer pressures. Amen? Because the psalmist too talked about sometimes about being crushed under the weights of the problems. That's overwhelmed, right? So here he is praying about being overwhelmed, and prayer helps. If you've got Job-like problems in your life, yeah, you say, oh, preacher, let's don't compare it to that. You know what I'm saying, though? To you, it feels like it's a Job-like enormous problem, right? And it could be the same type of problems that he had. The loss of family. The loss of finances. The loss of just everything. It could be that. It could be Daniel in the den of lions. You think he prayed? He prayed, right? How about Paul and Silas when they were beaten and thrown into the Philippian jail? The Bible says they prayed and praised, saying praises unto God. That got them through it, right? How about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross and he prayed as it were sweat as it were great drops of blood. I believe that was literal. That was the pressure on him that as he sweats, the Bible says great drops of blood was in that. Well, that's praying with fervency, bursting blood vessels right there. Overwhelmed. That's pretty serious, isn't it? And we all know, we've been there, we know what it's like. But I'm glad we can pray in any situation. Let me give you number four. Number four, we should pray upon the solid rock. Verse 2 again, the latter line. He said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, he says he's at the end of the earth, but he might have a certain spot in mind right there. A certain thing in mind, a certain stone, a rock. You know, the Bible says so many times, God is our rock. He's our refuge. Amen? He's our shelter in the time of storms. He says, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That could be a prayer for protection. You know, you get beside the rock, you get sheltered from the heat. You get sheltered from the wind. You get sheltered from the sandstorm out there in the deserts, right? You get up beside that big rock. Boy, that shade feels good. You talk about a shade tree. Well, they needed a big rock to find. Get up beside that rock and get some shelter. Amen? Get some shade. Get some protection. Get some help there. Stability even to lean on that rock when you're tired and against the troubles and the trials that have shaken your life. But he talked about the rock that is higher than I. You know, I think it's not only the idea of being by the rock, I think it's also the idea of getting on top of the rock. And when you get on top of the rock, you can see further and you can see better. You think about that. Hey, under the circumstances, how about getting on top of the rock and getting God's point of view? I tell you, when you begin to see it through the eyes of God, and Job understands God did this, God allowed this, God was with me through it all, and God had a plan to restore me in the end. And you get a bigger picture when you're on top of the circumstances with God. When you're on top of the rock, the Lord, you see it better. Amen? You see it better. You're looking up, it looks pretty bad, and you can't see as far. But when you get on top of the circumstances, no longer under it, no longer under the influence of it, but you're able to get on top of it. And I don't mean just by positive thinking. I mean by what he did here. Prayer. Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Have you ever been so overwhelmed, so down, you had to say, Lord, lead me to a better place? Lead me to a more stable situation. Isn't that what he's praying for? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Well, the Lord's higher than us, right? And he is the rock. So we pray, Lord, lead me back to you. I'm at the end of the earth here, Lord. I'm at the end of the world. I'm at the end of my life, I feel like. Lord, bring me back closer to you. Lord, lead me there to a better place in my life. We all go through it. Now, look, we're going to heaven one day. Amen. That's why I told my friend Douglas about that. I said, look, if the Lord heals Melissa down here, praise God. But you know something? She knows the Lord. And if he chooses to heal her up there in heaven, either way, she's healed and better off. Amen. Right? You say, well, I don't like to look at it like that. No, you leave it in God's hand. And they're trusting the Lord with that. Right? But either way, there's healing. Either way, there's help. We're going to get out of this world one day and go to heaven. That's the ultimate healing and help. Amen. And on the solid rock. You know, my dad, he called me about a week ago. He called me up and wanted me to know that him and Mom had gone to the funeral home and took care of all their arrangements. We got this done. We got that done. Y'all ain't got to worry about this. Picked out this. Already wrote the obituary. Got it done. And you know what he said? He said, now we just go wait on the Lord. And if he doesn't come, we got this backup plan in place. That's a good way to look at it, amen? A backup plan, right? Think about that. Maybe, amen. But keep looking to the Lord. Either way, you know where you're going. Whether it's through the rapture or the grave, you know where you're going. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, with the rock. But down here right now, we can be on the rock. And we might have to pray, Lord, I'm overwhelmed right now, but lead me to a better perspective. Lord, lead me to remembering and understanding that you care and you know and you have a plan. That's what he was praying about. That's what he was talking about. That's what he was saying. Lord, I'm crumbling, but you're the rock that is higher than me. Lead me there. Lead me back to that place. You know, Jesus, the Bible says, when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountains to pray. Went up. Boy, his prayers went right on up to heaven. If the Lord needed it, I think I need it too. Amen. If the Lord needed it, you need it too. The Lord didn't want to get under his circumstances, so he went up into the mountain to do what? Call on his Father. Pray. How are you going to handle it? How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to deal with the trial when it comes? You say, preacher, you think the Lord, the devil's already talking about what I'm about to go through? He'll know it before you do. But he'll be there when it happens, amen? He'll be there while it happens. He'll be there when the storm passes by, too. Thank God for it. You say, well, I'm not doing too good under the circumstances. Well, or under the influence of these circumstances. Well, let's pray about getting on the rock. Not just getting on top of the circumstances, but getting on the rock that gives us stability, strength, stamina to keep on going. Amen? Wisdom to sustain us. That's what David did. Praying while under the circumstances. Is that what you're doing? That's what'll help you. Amen. You might need to come get on this altar and bring it to the Lord here this morning. And I want to give you a chance to do that. Let's bow our heads here this morning as we think about these things. Comfort and help from the Scripture, from the God of all comfort, is what we need oftentimes in our lives as we face the troubles and the trials and the battles and the problems and the storms of life. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for the emphasis, God, you've given us here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for these great psalms that, Lord, can bless our heart. Inspire us, Lord, to do what David did and go to the place for help. Lord, give us the wisdom we need, the strength, the stamina, the stability of the rock, the shelter. And Lord, just bless, meet the needs. God, again, we've sang a lot about salvation today too, Lord. Maybe somebody needs salvation. I pray you speak to that heart also. And Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name this morning. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and music begins to play. You might want to come this morning to the rock that is higher than I. There's a lot of emotion in these psalms and in these prayers, a lot of emotion there. And you might say, well, I'm not feeling it right now. I don't feel overwhelmed right now. I don't feel like I'm at the end of the earth right now. But you just go ahead and put it in your back pocket. You're going to need to do it one day. Do what David did. You're going to need to run to the rock. You're going to need to call on God for the prayers. If we don't feel it right now, amen, good, thank God for it. But let's be ready when it comes our way. The Lord, whatever the need is. Do we know that we need the Lord? That's a good question, too. Amen. You can look up here, look this way. I hope that.